Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
In case you haven't noticed yet, it is the Sunday in the liturgical year when we celebrate the Trinity. It's probably become apparent to you from our liturgy and our songs this morning. Traditionally, it's the Sunday after Pentecost, and we don't always celebrate Trinity Sunday here at Plymouth, but I happen to be fond of the Trinity, the idea of the Trinity. I've read about it theologically and doctrinally, and some of those things go in one ear and out the other. I tend to understand the Trinity more in image, because it is a mystery. It is a paradox. Oftentimes, I think of the Trinity as a circle of continuously generating love that moves through those three identities that we know, more of a verb than a noun, more communing than community. This week, as I was reading the passage from Romans and pondering it, I began to think of the Trinity as a house, a home for the life that happens in the family of God. How many of you remember that old nursery rhyme, "The House That Jack Built"? Maybe some of you could say it with me. This is the house that Jack built. This is the cheese or the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the rat that ate the cheese that lay in the house that Jack built. This is the cat that chased the rat that ate the cheese that lay in the house that Jack built. And on and on and on it goes. Until we have a young man, all tattered and torn, who kisses and marries the maiden all forlorn by the priest that is shaven and shorn, and there's a farmer sowing corn and a rooster crowing in the morn. Remember? In the passage we just heard from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, there is a lyrical kind of rhythm that reminded me of this old nursery rhyme. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and it builds to a lovely climax saying, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. In and around and about the house that Jack built, there is a lot happening, isn't there? The story of the cheese and the rat and the cat, and there's a dog that also joins in the chase, and the story of the maid and the man and the priest that marries them, and the story of the farmer and the rooster and the corn. Life is happening. Somehow, no matter what happens, the house seems to be the center of it all. It all comes back around to the house that Jack built. In and around the struggling house church in Rome that Paul was writing to, all kinds of life was happening as well. The house church was made up of Jewish and Gentile followers of Christ who were working through conflicts over the tradition and the rites of their new faith. They were creating essentially a new culture of faith in a social context that was hostile to them, because they proclaimed Jesus the Christ as Lord rather than Caesar. At times, their very lives were in danger. Their faith was constantly tested, and they, in the midst of all of that, were wondering, well, which of these Jewish laws are we supposed to keep up in continuity with Jesus? Our circumcision, kosher, dietary laws? How are we supposed to be these followers of Christ? What are the rules? And in the midst of all of that, they are just trying to maintain Christian community, feeding the poor, tending the sick, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, worshiping God, studying, praying, learning. All kinds of life happens here too, doesn't it? In the midst of this faith community. We too are just trying to hold on and maintain what we do as Christians. Feed the poor, tend the sick, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, worship God, pray, study, learn. And though we don't really often think of it, perhaps, we come from many different Christian traditions, or perhaps no particular faith tradition at all. We come here and we join together in the traditions and the rites of the United Church of Christ, and yet we come at it from many different angles. I've sometimes wondered if we would actually benefit from the techniques of interfaith dialogue sometimes when we have our discussions. There are so many diverse opinions. They say, for instance, if I was to poll you all on the meaning of the Trinity for you, well, I would get all kinds of diverse, highly diverse views. Some of you would go, oh, yeah, the Trinity, so what? Some of you would say, oh, yeah, that's really important to me. Some of you go, well, I only think about God, the creator. Well, no, Jesus is sort of the center for me. Well, no, I think about the Spirit that animates all different entry points, different possibilities for debate. And meanwhile, life keeps happening, doesn't it? For better and sometimes for not so good, for better and for tougher. Paul, in this passage we heard, says to all of us, the church in first century Rome and the 21st century church here in Fort Collins, as we are in the midst of life happening to us, Paul says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus the Christ. And we stand, we live in a situation of grace, in the very midst of grace. When I read that, I have to make myself stop and take a deep breath, not rush on to the next sentence. We live in the midst of grace, which is so amazing, Paul says, that we can literally boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Now, boasting is something we teach our children not to do in our culture. Boasting in Paul's world was not about shallow bragging. Boasting was a formal Greek form of rhetoric in writing and in speech that exuded utter confidence. Since we are justified by faith, says Paul, we can have utter confidence, and our hope is in sharing in God's glory. Sharing in God's glory, we hear that phrase, God's glory. What does that mean? Perhaps we can understand it this morning, the image of living fully in God's house of love. The love of God made up of the love we know as the Father, Mother, Creator, sustaining parent who created the world and set us in it. The love we know as Jesus, God with us in human form, experiencing life happening as it happens to us. And yet able to live so fully in the ways of God that he underwent the suffering and the death and the resurrection. And the love we know as Holy Spirit, the power and the force, the creativity and the comfort of God who is always available to us. That is the house of God's love. Perhaps living there is the glory of God. Since we are justified by faith, Paul writes, we know we have access to the peace and grace of God as we live in God's house. And not only can we boast in the glory of God, but we can boast in our suffering. We can boast in suffering that produces endurance, and endurance that produces character, and character that produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, since we are justified by faith. Now I get to this point and I say, whoa, wait a minute, Paul. Wait just a minute. That's a pretty big assumption, because that's not always my experience of suffering, that it produces endurance and character and hope. Come on, Paul. Suffering stinks. It's hard, and we don't like to have to endure. And anyway, do we have to suffer to build character? It's like that no pain, no gain thing. And this hope thing, is that just pie in the sky, unrealistic wishing? What's up here? Since we are justified by faith, says Paul. What does it mean to be justified by faith? Well, if you look at the definitions of justify, one of the first one in the Merriam-Webster online dictionary is a good reason for something or some action. A good reason for something, that's the way we usually think about it. I was justified in doing that. I had a good reason. Is it enough to know that Jesus, his life, teachings, his suffering, his death and resurrection are a good reason to have a faith to trust, and then this faith brings us God's peace and grace so that we can deal with the sufferings of life? Sometimes. Sometimes that sustains us. Now, the second definition of justify, and I happen to love this, is to position text, let me get the right words here, to position text so that the edges form a straight line. Being someone who cannot draw a straight line with a ruler, I think this is amazing when you push that button on Microsoft Word, that little click, and suddenly your text just all lines up in a little box straight right there for you. I always feel like it's a miracle. And if we think of this idea of justifying as in lining up, and we go back to our house image, we know that to build a house, the corners of the foundation and the rooms always need to be squared up, don't they? Justified with one another, lined up in perfect 90-degree angles, otherwise we don't have strong straight walls and a sure foundation. So is it enough to know that Jesus, his life, his teachings, his sufferings, death and resurrection, line us up with God, put us in line with God's goodness and righteousness so that we can deal with suffering when it comes? Sometimes. Maybe. Justified by faith. I kept reaching, how can we understand this phrase better? Have you ever tried to draw a circle freehand? I don't mean just like draw a little circle for the head and stick figure, but I mean draw a perfect circle freehand. I don't know if it can be done. No matter how hard we try, there's usually some little lump or bump or something, or the lines don't meet up when you get them, you know, there to each other. Maybe some of us who are artists or architects can do it. But to draw a perfect circle, we need a center point, a compass with the pencil to draw. Or you can use two pencils attached with a string, and one's the center, and you draw the other one around. Or this is the coolest thing, and June actually tried it after the first service. I have not yet to try it, but I saw this on the internet, so it must be true, right? You can put your ring finger down as the center point, hold your pencil, somehow June did it, and then turn the paper and it will form the perfect circle. Homework, you can all go home and try this. We need that center point so that the outside line of the circle is equidistant in all places from the center. In a manner of speaking, the edges are justified in line with the center because of their relationship to the center. It seems to me that Paul is saying to this struggling, squabbling house church in Rome and to us over 2,000 years later in our faith community, which can still struggle and squabble and be challenged and have doubt, Paul is saying, when we know God, and when the God we know in Jesus the Christ is the center of all of who we are and what we do, we can draw a true and balanced circle of our lives individually and communally. Because we all know that life happens, and the circle of our lives gets pretty bumpy and lumpy and out of shape. And I don't know about you, but I tend to be one, I like to run around, you know, trying to push the edges out, make sure everything is perfect. And as soon as you push one place, then the other place caves in, doesn't it? When life happens, and we know that it will, if we are justified in our faith, if the God we know in Jesus is at the center, we will stand in the circle of God's love and peace and grace. We will live in God's house of life in the midst of that love that comes in threes. And when suffering comes, and we know it does, we will be able to endure because our life will be built in the circle of love in God's house of love. And then our suffering will have the opportunity to produce endurance, which will produce new character and new growth and new strength. And this new character, this new growth, this new strength will give us hope that is solid. It will not be wishful thinking, because it will be grounded in the center, in God. This hope will not disappoint, because it is God's love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Justified by faith. Justified by faith, we build our lives around the center point of God in Christ Jesus, that we know through the strong and animating love of God in the Holy Spirit. And just as all kinds of life happened in and around old Jack's house, our lives as Christians will happen in and around the house of love that God builds and reveals to us as Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Justified in faith, we live in peace, in grace, in hope, no matter what our circumstances may be, because the center point is true. Amen and amen.